welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. And it is now or never. I'm trying to reaffirm that we time is finite. We do not have a lot of time. We've got to really start focusing on what we're doing and getting the most out of our opportunity cost. I understand we've got life. We've got to put food on the table. We've got to keep the lights on, so forth. If you don't think that liberty comes with all of that, then you will go through a culture shock. If not, you'll go to what they'll call a re-indoctrination or an indoctrination center to help you assimilate into the new paradigm. Because I had an interesting conversation, forgive me for doing this, but I had a really good conversation with an old friend yesterday from California. And one of the things that we talked about was this indoctrination. And there are lots of people, like my friend, that starts off with, you want to put your finger on what is the biggest problem, what is the real problem. And people make, because the way we're trained, we kind of look at, every problem is separate. Every problem is unique. Every problem is, disassociated from all of the rest. In most cases, when we really start looking at the big picture, you will realize, and this is what we go through with Reclaiming the Republic. We prove to you that every problem that is coming from the federal government, whether it be education, healthcare, whether that be, social engineering, it doesn't matter. All of these things are all a part of the same problem. The real problem isn't education and the indoctrination. The real problem isn't, just our food supply being taken away from us. The real, because one of the things we talked about, because this good friend of mine was mentioning that, education, the indoctrination, if we do not stop this, then we're lost. Well, they've been doing this for decades. As a matter of fact, G. Edward Griffin, when I interviewed him years ago, pointed out that he was brought up as a collectivist. Now, we have more and more people dropping out of the public education system, and I've told people that does not do the trick. We absolutely have to shut down unconstitutional government, and education is a part of that. But as I mentioned, if we really want to look at how we're going to be controlled, how we're going to get over the hump, it has a lot to do with our food supply. Where is our food going to come from? Because if they can control the ability of, feeding us, if they can come after us, for, doing, let's just say, for doing, things like having your own garden, for doing things like being resourceful and trade, they can come after us for those types of things. Because when they take control and they start dictating what you can eat, because that's how they ultimately control the masses. Remember, Aristotle said revolts will always come when there's no food to eat. And because as long as they're offering food, people will, okay, well, I got to eat. We got to eat. Folks, I'm telling you what, instead of going in league with the devil, you are better off. You are better off just dying of starvation. Because the alternative to, staying, to dying by starvation is actually going hand in hand with the devil's plan of subjugation and letting them fully control us and surrendering your liberty. There's no way this world was created to allow us, the likeness of our Creator, to be subjugated to an evil being. And so we're told, and we're far better off. There's plenty of scriptures, and forgive me for my speech issues, because I think I told you months ago that when it started, I started taking this medication, and so I kind of normaled out. Well, I'm getting off the medication now. These are steroids, and so it kind of screws you up. So forgive me for some of my what seems to be speech impediments, and so let me continue on though. Without, you know, diving into my health and all of those other things at this point in time. The real important thing is that, you know, as I told my friend, I said, you know, it doesn't matter what they're doing in the education system. If they all of a sudden tomorrow they take away our food, how are you going to survive? If you have to go to the government distribution centers and you have to have a stamp, you have to have, I mean, look at what they did during the Depression. I mean, you had ration cards. Everybody lived by ration cards. Don't think they're not prepared to do these things. And don't think they're not going to be coming after your little victory garden if you're going to be growing it. They'll till it up and they'll say, you can't have this. Especially those people, the closer you are to a population center, the more likely it is it's going to be harder for you to be independent at all. Look at California and all of these big cities and all of these big urban areas. Now, eventually, you'll get into some of the, you know, bedroom communities way out there in suburbia. But for the most part, they're going to be, and there's going to be, what do you call that? Like bounties. There'll be rewards, and they'll incentivize people to tell on those who are part of the resistance, those who are not, you know, going along with the program. And so they have these FEMA camps. I know you've heard about these things. And a lot of people say, well, these, they're going to be used. Well, they haven't used them yet. And everybody's going, well, we haven't gotten there. Don't worry. Things are being sped up so that when this stuff happens, it'll happen at breakneck speed. And so... Let me just continue on. But the interesting thing is, though, folks, is that, and the reason I went down this rabbit hole is to help you understand that we only have so much time, that we really need to actually focus on the real solution. Even though you may think the Second Amendment is the real problem, even though you may think that the education system, whatever it is the real problem, it is not. It wasn't about abortion. Abortion was just another symptom of the many problems that they had been doing for well over a century. They have been violating the Constitution. They've assumed general powers when they have no general powers. All we have to do is wake up and take it from them. And the easiest way to do that is to start at your county level, to start with these petitions. If you can get people into running for office that are committed to this concept of being held accountable and, you know, being removed if they don't support the Constitution or they don't support their oath of office, they don't live up to that by supporting the Constitution, and they're willing to resign, those are the people you want to vote for. And you want to hold them to task. And you want to make sure they become the warriors they need to be. Because in a representative government, when it comes to politics, our warriors are our representatives. And there's no more important representative in your life than your local representative. Because these are the guys that actually you can go out and touch and talk to and go, you got to get up to Olympia and tell these people they can't do this. Anyway, at least if you live in Washington State, right? So we're going to have an interview with Paul Venable. I've been trying to get a travel log out of him, and we're going to get that, and we're going to get a little bit more because we're going to respond to a conversation that occurred yesterday on, because as I was driving, I had to, I was listening back and forth. Oh, Charlie Kirk's talking to Senator Hawley of Missouri. And I know the candidate that is running to actually be the second seat of that. And so as he was talking and the way Charlie Kirk, these conservatives put these people up on a platter, and I'm just going to, forgive me for saying it this way, but Senator Hawley fell back assward into a position that, what he did was right, but he did it for the wrong reason. In other words, he's facing in the wrong direction. And so we're going to have this conversation with Paul Venable regarding these things, the two things that were really big is foreign affairs as well as the constitutional carry and concealed carry with Missouri, because the Biden administration is going after Missouri and the right to bear arms, because it's a pretty populated state. It's not dense like California, but there's a lot of people in Missouri. And there's a lot of people with guns in Missouri. And so the attorney, if you've been following this, we'll get into that conversation with Paul Venable. And we'll also kind of catch up with where he's been, what he's been doing. But let me just say this, folks. Paul Venable is, I've nothing but the highest esteem for this man. And he is a constant, he's been teaching the Constitution for a long time. I mean, his resume regarding the Constitution and understanding the Constitution exceeds most of the people I know. And so what this means is we have a candidate that we could actually put a spotlight on and we could actually listen to, and we will not be led astray. If this man becomes a public servant, he will be like Thomas Jefferson. He will be like James Madison. This man's heart is in the pursuit of restoring government to the constitutional framework that it was designed to. So when we go into break, in just a few seconds here, we'll go into break, we'll come right back, and we'll go into this interview with Paul Venable. Then, after the interview, we'll actually go right back out into break, and then we will come back and we will kind of wrap things up. There are a few Feedback Friday things that I want to do, but remember, because it's an election season, Feedback Friday and what have you, when necessary, we want to give candidates. So if you've got a constitutional candidate, have them reach out. We'd be happy to talk to them about the issues and getting them on the record that they want and will support the Constitution and walk away from office if necessary, if they're called out for doing the wrong thing or not supporting the Constitution. After that, we'll be right back right now with Paul Venable. Hey, folks, I have Paul Venable, who is running for U.S. Senate for the state of Missouri. He wants to go represent the state of Missouri and actually be very clear. He wants to go represent the state legislature of the state of Missouri. And so, Paul, how you doing?
I'm great. Thank you, GR. How are you?
I'm so happy that I finally got you. I've been trying. I've really wanted to connect to get a travelogue from you. But more importantly, I wanted to talk to you about Senator Hawley's comments on some crises or some issues that I think you can shine some light to really create a great contrast and comparison for people so that they can actually, you know, look at the paradigm of the Republicans that are currently in office, because they don't even challenge, you know, all the unconstitutional government. They're just accepting some of this stuff. But I don't want to pollute the pool at this point.
Sure.
Okay, so
sure.
More importantly, we'll get to that. But first off, how has the campaign been going?
Well, GR, I can say that I don't think there's been a dull moment since we started. I've been through the center, the north of the state. It's been pretty exciting. Let me give you some idea of where I've been. Mid to late June, I was with We the People of St. Louis. Really receptive crowd. This is my first public event, especially with another candidate. And you know, Mark McCloskey was there. Now that our primary election is done and we've whittled down the list, but this was a good event because the organizers told me that they wanted an alternative to hear an alternative between the Republicans and the Democrats. And so it was just the candidates were just given a few minutes to speak. I know the senator candidates were last. I kind of went a little over time, and the time counter was like pointing at his clock, right?
Right.
But Mark McCloskey was the last speaker, you know, Senate candidate, and looked like they turned off the clock for him. So he had his rousing practice speech, and that was okay. All right. I appreciated being invited there. What was interesting was what happened the next week. The next week, I was at Cuba Middle School in Crawford County. And again, we had a lot of candidates there, a few minutes to speak. But then they had this open question and answer period. And, GR, I think I really like to light up during this time, because this is when I can explain the details about the constitutional crisis in America and about following the Constitution and what it means to it to require full compliance to the Constitution. So during this question and answer period, it was kind of open. Any candidate could answer it. And I was answering every question with the Constitution responses. At the end, let me summarize that. This, the end of that, you know, people are following me out the door, and I'm in conversations with people for so long that as the crowd dwindles down, I realize I'm the last person out of the parking lot 40 minutes after everyone's gone. And so I had multiple people say, "You've got my vote." I've never met these people before. All right. And so a lot of people are impressed. I don't want them to be impressed with me, Chiara. I want them to be impressed with the Constitution. And I think there's a hunger for that information. You know, the next day took me to the far north of the state. We're in Worth County. It's an agricultural base on the border with Iowa. All right. And, you know, the candidates, this one started out with a couple of term limited candidates in one office. I guess they were running for another office. And they were talking about how they had, you know, brought, surplus money back to the district. That looked like it wasn't going to be much. It was kind of, it's actually in the afternoon. They gave the candidates a few minutes to speak, and there was no question and answer, and we passed out our literature. But the end of the meeting got interesting because a gentleman stood up, and he pointed his finger at these two legislators and called them out, said, "You did this to us. You voted for that legislation." And I'm a stranger there. I didn't know what he's talking about, right? And then he storms out of the meeting. So I go follow. And I discover that a hot button issue in northern Missouri that the legislature isn't aligned with, or they don't get this. The sale of the largest pork producer in the United States, Smith Foods, is having a devastating effect on the property tax base and the way that Chinese are actually manipulating the law so they don't pay taxes. This guy was angry, and the people in that area are angry. So that was an education, and I've got, you know, I was able to talk to him about what we need to do, and I had an opportunity to do that again the next week when I went back to speak at Nottoway County. So that was an idea. Now, I need to share something else with you. We went to, this was a great opportunity. We took a detour from the campaign, and we went to Red Pill Expo like the second week of July. And I'm really grateful for the organizer, Dan Happel, for getting me there and allowing me to put something on. So what I did is I had a 32-inch screen. Okay, and on the screen, I had "Remove Biden, Ask Me How." You couldn't miss these words from anywhere you stood in this room. And so it attracted a lot of attention. I even found some supporters here in Missouri. But the idea behind going here was to, you know, this campaign isn't about Paul Venable. That's why I call it You Win Missouri, because I believe it's about time for the people to win in their interactions with government. You know, it's did the candidates win? What does that matter? It matters when the people win. So I'm at this event. It's all day Saturday. It's all, you know, Friday set up all day Saturday, all day Sunday. What really worked out well is at the end of the event, and I'm there with, you know, with G.R. Wood Griffin and Dan Happel, and I wasn't on the schedule, G.R. I wasn't on the menu, but at the last event, it's kind of like a round table at the end. They invited me to participate in that and talk about the First Amendment right to petition, talk about the campaign. And this is where I told them that this campaign is more than a campaign for some person to run for office. We want to export this campaign into a national movement to use the petition process to stand up for the Constitution, essentially. And you know, I'd have thought, you know, I don't mean this in the way it's going to sound, but it's the people responded like I was some kind of rock star. All right. I mean, I hit a nerve, and let me take that back. I didn't hit the nerve. The idea is that people are hungering for this information because right. no one is giving them solutions. We've right. got solutions. Okay.
Right.
And so that was great. The next, let's see, I went to, after that, I had two events within a week in the Independence, Kansas City area. And the one was at a American Heritage Foundation. This was a small group. Okay. Uh-huh. And it was, what was interesting about that is there was a candidate there for Congress who told me that he would help me with my campaign, whether he won or lost his race, which was shut. So I've been in touch with him. Okay.
This is awesome.
And then we had the other one. I got to tell you about this one. Okay. Because I met with We the People of Greater Kansas City, and I'm in a panel. This is another open question and answer. Okay. I'm in a panel. There are about 80 people in the audience. And they're very like-minded candidates, very like-minded office. They're trying to take over the county commission in Jackson County because it's run by Democrats and rhinos. And so they were profoundly impressed with the message of the Constitution, so much so that I got invited to come back to speak to the county pachyderms in September. All right, so. That's just how wound up people are. I think the time is ripe, GR, and I think what we've done is, you know, the recipe that you put together to make this work, okay, and the evidence, okay, the fact-based evidence really helps to give a foundation to this information, okay. That's you had this background that has only strengthened my knowledge of the Constitution. So, you know, we had a couple of other things from there. I think what's important though is I'm now getting around, but I can't get in everywhere. I mean, last week I missed getting to go to the Liberty Ministers event, which I was invited to by what's his name? Alex Newman.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. You know, Alex, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he, when I was at Red Pill Expo, he said, "Hey, you know, why don't you come to St. Louis? You know, I'm going to the Liberty Ministers." And so I got back in touch with him. I found out what it was. Let me tell you what my limitation is. Okay. Well,
so actually, let me interrupt you.
Yeah.
Most people look at states, you know, and they look at, you know, their local campaigns and so forth. And I think the average listener understands that, you know, gasoline's pretty expensive now. Everybody kind of understands that. But they really don't understand the kind of mileage that a campaign, a statewide campaign like yourself is. How long does it take for you to get from your home to St. Louis?
Almost 3 hours.
3 hours. And how much time to get to Kansas City?
An hour and a half.
An hour and a half. So, obviously, folks, he's closer to Kansas City. But my point is, folks, that, you know, Missouri's a pretty decent-sized state. It's not a small state. It's not Rhode Island. And so, I understand where you're going because money is the engine. It's the necessary evil of politics. And when we talk about just the logistics of getting a candidate out in front of people, the bare minimum is just the cost of travel. So it frustrates me that you're not getting necessarily all the financial support, but and that, you know, it you either are out sending your message or you're saying give me money, and I know that's not what you're doing, and I know that that's not your campaign, because when you're out in front of people, you're not doing that. And so So I actually have you on our endorsement page. So people should be able to come in, and anybody can support your campaign by just going to my website, which will send them to your website.
Sure.
Okay. Or well, they can just go, what is it? You Win Missouri?
At youwinmissouri.org. Okay. And there's a donate button at the bottom. Sure.
Okay. All right. Because I know I've asked, and I do this all the time. I tell people to save money for the elections, for, you know, and I do this years in advance because as soon as this election's over, I'm going to start telling people, make a little, you know, piggy bank or create a little account to throw a little bit of money into, because we have to financially fight the money that Soros and the rest of the globalists are throwing into our political process. It's great that we get people to vote. It's great that we get people to actually get and help and engage, roll up their sleeves and get involved in the campaign. But it takes money. It really does. And the best way to get rid of the money influence over elections, folks, is going down this path of making all elections local. We talked about this back in April. I know, Paul, you're really aware of this because I know it's taken off with your group and so forth. But, folks, the necessary evil right now in every election in America and getting constitutional people into office is job number one. If we don't do this, then we're going to fail and we're going to continue to fail. But I truly believe we're heading in the right direction, and it's good to hear that you're getting this kind of reception, you're getting this kind of, you know, headway regarding, you know, giving the message that constitutional compliance, using the Constitution, First Amendment petition, all of these things that we've been, I'll just say, I've been yammering about for years now, is actually coming to fruition. This is awesome. But it doesn't validate me. It only validates the knowledge that I've just been exposed to, because the framers, they did petitions. Martin Luther petitioned. But anyway, I digress. What's really important, and I appreciate your travelogue, by the way. So it's, you know, not often enough. We need to probably do more connections. But Let me dive into a couple of issues, because I was listening to Charlie Kirk, and this is really what, you know, drove me to kind of changing my schedule so that we could have this conversation right now. And so when I listened to Charlie Kirk, he was interviewing Senator Hawley, who is a Missouri senator, and you know who he is. And so here's the question I have, because if you didn't hear his interview, you're probably aware of some of the things he's been doing, but one of the things I need to, you know, ask you about are some of his positions, because I'm listening to his positions and I'm going, you know, Paul, you know, you need to actually get ahead of this, because I believe heading into the general election, if you can actually provide the insights of the current paradigm, that, you know, Senator Hawley is in the wrong spot. He may be positioned in the right way, but he's facing the wrong direction. And so the two, three things, well, actually it's two kind of, if you look at foreign policy and you look at gun rights, the two issues that were brought up by Charlie Kirk was his position, because he was interviewing, I think it was the Attorney General or maybe the FBI, regarding these concealed carries in the state of Missouri. And there's some history, and my folks may not be aware of this, but the Second Amendment has been really under the spotlight of the Biden administration. And without going into details, because we don't have a lot of time, we know that the Biden administration has been making life miserable for gun manufacturers and so forth in Missouri. And now they're actually trying to, you know, come after Missouri and punishing them and finding and creating political prisoners with these, you know, concealed carries and so forth. And Hawley's position, I just want to get your feedback on what you think should be the right position. And we probably need to be really brief, and I'll try to be quicker and more succinct. His position was that it's a problem that, you know, is the problem that he's identifying is the fact that they're coming forward now. Why now? Instead of, hey, you have no right to be doing this in the first place. You have no right to be involved in gun control, the bump stocks, all of these things. And so what's your position on Senator Hawley actually taking this passive or just kind of questioning the Department of Justice and the FBI and saying, why are you doing this now? What's your feelings on that?
You know, Jared, passive is how should I, here's how I'd put it. You know, you can't get the right answer if you ask the wrong question. And Senator Hawley is clearly asking the wrong question. So what's, you know, why are you doing this now? First of all, let me share something with you, some background about Missouri, in case you don't know. Last year, we passed something called the Second Amendment Protection Act. And ever since then, there's been a target by the feds on Missouri. All right. It actually keeps law enforcement from cooperating with the federal police to enforce federal gun laws, past, present, and future. And what that means is there was a I got to give you this background really quick. There was a our retiring senator, the man who's Roy Blunt, whose position I'm running for, actually took credit for passing shepherding gun legislation through Congress. Now, I don't want to diverge or too much, but I just want you to know, this is, he probably feels comfortable doing this since he's retiring, but let me call him out, GR. Okay. I've got the Second Amendment in front of me, and I'm going to give you a little background. You know this really well, but it's a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. What does he or, can either one of these senators read or understand what the meaning of shall not be infringed is? So here's what Senator Hawley is missing is, one, the federal government has no business taking this space. He's asking the Justice Department and the current administration Justice Department. Okay. What he should be doing is calling them out for not obeying their own oath to follow the Constitution. Because here's what, first of all, the Second Amendment starts out by telling us the reason why people should be armed. Okay. That there should be a well-regulated militia. Then let's go to the text of the Constitution, what it says, one of the powers of Congress is to call forth the militia to execute the laws of the Union, suppress insurrections and repel invasions. Yeah. Okay. We may get to this in another point, but where is Congress about you calling forth the militia? Well, they don't do it. Okay. Right. Not only does the Constitution tell us that, Congress also has the authority, the power. They have the responsibility to arm the militia, to train them, and to set standards for them. You know what that means, GR?
Yep.
It means they shouldn't be taking arms away from us. They should be putting arms in the hands of the people so they can protect themselves. Do you hear that, Chicago? Do you hear that, St. Louis? Do you hear that, L.A. and San Francisco and Portland and Seattle? Sorry about that.
Right. Let's move forward, because the next issue, and I'm not sure, is that on your end or is that on my end?
And I'm sorry. I'm going to put myself on do not disturb. I apologize.
Okay. So back to Senator Hawley's short interview that I listened to, because you usually put my life and everybody on the road in danger when I get infuriated listening to people talking about things that they don't understand. And okay. So today was no different in hearing Senator Hawley, but he was the only senator, and this is kind of interesting because he fell backwards into the right position, but he did it all on the wrong pretenses. Excuse me, but he actually voted against empowering NATO with more power in this latest treaty amendment. And so what's your position on that?
Well, falling backward, you're being kind, GR. Again, I ask myself, one, do these folks read the Constitution? Let me see if I can get this down to the bare minimum. First of all, one of the problems is you had 49 other senators that are way off base, but where the question about is Josh Hawley. We have a petition dealing with that. There isn't an authority in the Constitution for the United States to become a part of another governing body. And so yeah, he may have taken a position that is favorable to the United States, but our petition is to remove the United Nations and its foreign officers, apparently, from American soil, because we simply don't have the authority to be making these directive into the business of other nations. And on top of that, imagine this. Why are we even discussing Norway and Finland, okay, or is it Sweden and Finland, when we got an invasion happening on our southern border? Let me tell you how that works and why you haven't used – I've heard it only recently. In a couple of counties in Texas, they start using the term invasion. I've been talking about this since I started running. Why don't they use the term invasion? I'll tell you why. Because if you use a constitutional term, you require a constitutional response. We just discussed it. Mm-hmm. The Congress shall have power to call for the militia to execute the laws of the Union, suppress insurrections, and repel invasions. And where is Josh Hawley when we're having a rampant, in fact, where are any of our conservative heroes when we're having a charge across our border? Hey, I saw Ted Cruz at the border in an interview talking about how inhumane the treatment of Americans are with these people crossing the border, how awful it is. So what?
Yeah.
Senator Cruz, it's an invasion. You have the power to call out Congress to say, we're having an invasion. We need to guarantee our states a Republican form of government and to protect them from invasion. That's in the Constitution also, by the way. I wonder if they read it.
Right.
I'm sorry, sir. I'm probably going a little.
No, it's okay. So we're both frustrated, but I think the important thing is that in your campaign, because we want to see you elected, we want to see those who are committed. Folks, if you doubt this man's commitment to the Constitution, you really need to do the research, because what do you call it? Your election back or something like that?
Yeah, I call it an election back guarantee.
There you go. So if you vote for him, you get your election back, because if he really does, and you can prove that he's violated his oath to supporting the Constitution, that he's failed to support the Constitution, he'll resign. There's nobody running that's willing to even say, I am so committed to the Constitution, I'll resign if I don't support it. This is what we need in every public servant running. And so what I was hoping to do, and I think it's really important to probably, one, catch up like we did on, how's your campaign? And then, two, kind of talk very specifically about how Missouri is being represented, one, in the Senate currently, and how that can change via your campaign and via your election. And so the one thing I think I want to go and part with is, it's not like you're not running ads. You're focused on the issues and getting in front of the people, right?
That's right. I'm not running ads right now.
Okay.
I've got enough to put gas in my car, or I need gas in my car. I'm not paying for ads right now.
Right. Okay. So bottom line is, if you got financial support, what would you do with it? You go to Disneyland, or what would you do with more money if you got money in your campaign?
Well, more money would give me more opportunities to travel around the state. Okay. I would enhance my website. It does need enhancement. I'm getting requests for interviews. I don't know that I would pay for advertising right now. I've had people ask me for signs, but GR, I think I would, at this point, I would use it to travel around the country to share my message. Not the country, the state.
Yeah, the state. The countryside. I get it.
Right. Yeah, the countryside. Because the most effective thing for me at this point has been the meeting the people. And when they get excited about my message, they share it, and I wind up coming back.
Okay,
I'm going back to Kansas City.
So you don't have any signs then? So there's no signage yet for you and your campaign?
At the moment, I'm not doing signs. If I get enough that we can do signs, people have requested signs, but this is a state of 6 million people, okay? And I want to do what's the most effective. And so I signs, I don't know, GR. I think right now, it's still the most important thing is to meet the people and give them the message.
Right, right. Well, so I've taken up a lot of your time. We're heading into 30 minutes, and that's I'm running out of time myself. I thank you for your time. I thank you for what you're doing, and I truly appreciate the fact that you are man enough and patriotic enough to actually stand up and do the right thing and help America come to its senses and help Missouri first come to its senses. And we got to get you in there so you can actually help America come to its senses. So anyway.
Well, GR, one, I've got to thank you for giving me this platform. And secondly, you know, people are responding to this message. They're hungry for it. This is something that has needed to be said for a long time. And I don't know that I think I'm the only one doing this right now.
Oh, well, so actually, just so you know, we have some folks in Montana. We've got some folks in Wyoming, you know, at a lower level. We do not have anybody. I've tried with all the different parties at the statewide or for federal positions. And it just seems like people are trying to veer away from committing, and I'm going, okay, you're doing this at your own peril, because once we actually, you know, win more races, they're not going to be able to pursue, you know, re-elections. We want to end their political careers. Anybody that is not on board with full unabashed support for the Constitution. So with that, let me get going, because literally I've got 20 seconds before we kind of wrap up. And thank you so much for all that you do. And fair winds and following sails, and God bless, okay?
Thank you, GR. Take care.
You bet. Thank you so much. So actually, you've got to love it. And as a matter of fact, before we get into the break, we're going to have one promo. But I have one promo coming up. And so before we get into this, I do want to make sure I go back and really kind of clarify. Paul Venable is the leader regarding the First Amendment petitions, regarding, you know, all of this stuff. I mean, he's the epitome of what we've been talking about for 2 years. So we'll be right back after this one promo. Thank you so much, folks. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. Okay, so what we need to do is we need to kind of focus on some feedback. But before I do, like we're going into break, I can't emphasize enough what a refreshing, you know, dose this is. I mean, this is actually like drinking an elixir. When you actually start hearing candidates that are actually running, we've had good candidates. We've never had a Madisonian candidate in well over a couple centuries. Folks, I don't care. Nobody has understood the Constitution until we actually started digging out the ratification debates, until we really started placing direct context to the Constitution being subject to legal, or not legal, to contract law. Okay, so again, forgive me, I'm speaking fragmented just because of this crappy medication. So hopefully you can hang in there, because I probably talking a little bit too fast even for myself. Bottom line, as I look over the history, over the annals of all elections in the United States, lost was the Constitution after, I'll just say, James Monroe. I think James Monroe understood the Constitution. I think that he made a political compromise. I think he was wrong with the Missouri Compromise. But for the most part, a lot of the stuff he did was right in line with how everything was sold. What he ended up doing regarding slavery, he didn't understand how that was a violation. There's no doubt in my mind that Madison probably poked him on the side and said, because Madison did not want to, you know, inject himself. It's just like with George Washington. George Washington constantly went to James Madison for guidance on the Constitution, but when Washington was doing things, it's not like Madison took it upon himself to constantly, you know, hey, you need to do it this way, you shouldn't be doing this. I mean, he was happy to help him. There was obviously a professional respect, a mutual respect amongst them. I mean, they weren't peers. Madison was just a kid. I mean, Washington died, you know, just years after all of this. I mean, within a decade. So they only knew each other. I think they probably knew each other maybe for 12, 14 years. I don't know. I wasn't there. But when you look at how their careers overlapped, there wasn't a lot of time for Madison to really know George Washington. But the fact is, he didn't inject himself. So we didn't have candidates. We kind of lost. And this concept of political compromise, this concept of general powers, started creeping in because of the Supreme Court. And so there's some good books out there that expose all of this. But what we want to share with you is that Paul is probably the first Madisonian candidate in well over two centuries. Because two centuries would put us back to the 20s, the 1820s. Right? And so going back to the 1820s, that was Monroe. And Monroe was an awesome candidate. And so, you know, that was the last time. I'm absolutely accurate. I know John Quincy Adams was a good man. There were lots of good men, and they're good men today. But if they are not profoundly wrapped around this Constitution, embracing this concept of ultimately an enumerated Constitution, enumerating roles, responsibilities, powers, and property, then bottom line, we have people that are of a paradigm willing, candidates, politicians, public servants, that are willing to make these compromises. Or even worse, we have subversives like Pelosi. Look at what Pelosi did. And you heard it from me last week, that what she was going to be doing was going to be violating the Logan Act. She had no authority via the Constitution. And as a matter of fact, she was in league with the White House. What they're doing is they're playing this, you know, this game in sending messages to the world that America is about to fall. And they're helping everybody kind of understand what is going on. There's no doubt in my mind that people in Taiwan are they don't know what to do. Most of the world doesn't know what to do, because when China unleashes its attack, it's going to be just like Crimea. And when Crimea, you know, fell to the Russians, look at this all happened under the Obama administration. When we look at some of the crap that happened. Right? It's going to happen again. We can end this. We can get rid of this. Folks, the one petition Paul Venable has, the one thing that he can do for us is literally this concept that getting rid of Biden by using and exercising the 12th Amendment. Go look at the petition on his website. More importantly, one of the things I got to plug one more time before I dig into some of these other things. He needs your help. He needs some money. Give him some gas money. Contribute to his campaign by going to our endorsement page, Reclaiming the Republic candidate endorsement page. He's right there. Read what I happen to say, why I'm endorsing him. Anyway, let's talk about one thing that I think is really important, because I want to leave with the last few minutes I've got with this. The reason why China is successful is because they're creating this contrast. In other words, China comes along and acts, instead of like Russia. Russia's this big brute and they're going to overtake you, and they have this, you know, in-your-face testosterone approach of diplomacy, which, you know, everybody looks at Russia as evil. But China comes along, we want to help you. We want you to come here and make stuff. And then they steal all your intellectual property. China is the most insidious, lying, deceitful nation that has probably ever risen to the ranks that it has risen to. And it has risen that way because the global leaders and major corporate leaders, the globalists, those who are in charge of this push towards our, you know, globalization, the New World Order, whatever you want to call it, they are in support of their strategy because of the tactics that they use. And once they finally get all their fingers like an octopus wrapped around you, the tentacles squeeze and squeeze, and they will squeeze the life out of anybody and everybody they consume. The last thing I want to kind of talk about, because it's been brought up regarding corporate tax and how I hear conservatives talking about corporate tax. Let me ask you, folks, where in the Constitution does the federal government have the authority to tax corporations? They have the authority to tax income by the 16th Amendment. They have the authority to tax or create levies, and they have the authority to create or actually post or imposts and excise taxes and so forth. But there's nowhere in there where they can direct tax corporations. Now, corporations, because they play these games of letting them become individuals and this all this other stuff, and the federal government had no authority to even do that. There is nowhere in the Constitution the federal government has the ability to allow or to help create these huge monoliths of this power of business, of industries. And they did this so that they could actually create. I've said this before. The federal government in working, or I should say government period, so not just in America, government creates alliances with corporations to do their bidding. See, corporations, it is an antithetical concept, or is an antithesis to good business in killing people. But if you've got government to kill people, then corporations don't have to worry about doing that. What's really what we need to look at is how do they work together, and how is it that they're helping each other? They're helping move the ball down the road. Because bottom line, when you really look at it, corporations exist to a point in communism to where the corporation actually gets folded into government, right? This is when we call it, you know, creating something from the private sector into the public sector, nationalizing airlines. I've been telling people that the day is going to come soon when the airline industry will be nationalized. Instead of having American, Delta, and these corporations, the United States is going to start nationalizing. Or better yet, we will fall and the conservatorship that steps in will start nationalizing, because everybody is going to be duped. We've been bamboozled into believing that everything that they're doing is legitimate. Folks, they do not have this level of authority. They do not have this power in the Constitution. And this is why it is so important to have candidates actually demanding full compliance, and why you need to demand full compliance of the Constitution. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution.